RadioArchives.com presents Blind Man's Bluff, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by police captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, Blind Man's Bluff. Chapter 1. Return of the Doomed. Tony Quinn, Special District Attorney, flipped the switch of his inter-office communicating system in answer to its buzz. One of the clerks spoke.
"There's someone to see you, sir. He won't give his name. He's, well, rather startling-looking, sir. He can't hear me now, of course, but he looks as if he'd just stepped out of a casket after being hit by 10 or 12 speeding autos."
"My, my," Quinn clucked his tongue. "He certainly must be something to behold. However, he won't bother me with his appearance. I can't see. Or have you forgotten, Jerry?"
The clerk gasped. Well, yes, sir. I did for the moment. I'm terribly sorry, sir."
"Forget it," Quinn chuckled. "I'm used to the idea. What does he want?"
"He refuses to say, sir, except that it is very important."
"Hold him there for 3 minutes, then send him in," Quinn directed. He turned to the bald, slender man beside him. "Silk, as usual, you'd better go into the next room. Most of the time, as of course you know, people who want to see me so badly and who refuse to identify themselves are coming in to give me the sordid details of some crime they have committed. They talk better when I'm alone."
"Yes, sir," Silk replied. "I do know, and as usual, too, the door won't be closed tightly. With all the enemies you have, sometime or other, some of them are apt to try and take advantage of a man they think is blind."
Quinn nodded absently. Until Silk walked out of the room, Tony Quinn's eyes had been alive, vital, and sparkling. They were a deep blue and keen. Now swiftly they changed. They became dead-looking, staring, and rigid. The eyes of a blind man. They were like that when the door opened and his visitor came in. Those apparently blind eyes saw the man, and for a second Quinn almost gasped at the startling appearance of the visitor. He carried a thick, heavy cane on which he leaned. He was thin to the point of emaciation. His bald head was bony, and his face beneath it resembled a skull more than a human countenance. The cheeks were sunken, and the flesh tight as a drum skin. His eyes seemed enormous until Quinn realized their sockets had receded and only gave them that deceptive appearance. But they were cold, deadly eyes that seemed to look through one. His complexion was the color of wax. In fact, he reminded Tony Quinn of a horror museum's wax dummy without the color the artist uses in trying to make his mannequins resemble flesh and blood. A wax dummy that fitted the man exactly, except that he moved, after a fashion. His arms and legs seemed to be stiff, as if they had been baked. He didn't exactly drag himself along, but he barely lifted his feet off the rug. His lips were almost non-existent.